Night begins to settle over the swamp, cloaking the dense undergrowth in darkness and turning the water's surface to black. With it comes a clinging, creeping fog, rising from the water like spectral steam. The fog surrounds you, its dampness caressing you like cold, dead hands. The swamp seems to retreat from the mists, its sights and sounds disappearing into some unseen distance. All that remains visible is the cold, choking fog. Even your companions seem far away. For a moment, everything is quiet. What few sounds you can hear are amplified by the surrounding mists. Your own breathing, your beating heart. Then the fog begins to dissipate, fading away as quickly as it appeared, leaving you and your companions alone in the dismal swamp. The swamp seems darker than it did before. The nearby trees have become twisted shadows with claw-like branches reaching out, and a foul odor rises from the murky water. Overhead, through the tangled branches, the sky appears strange. The stars have subtly changed positions, and the moon is closer, nearly full. Menacing clouds begin to roll across the western sky like a curtain of black smoke. In but a few moments, the clouds blot out the feeble starlight. A storm is brewing, a very bad storm. Hello, and welcome to D&D Book Club. My name is Megan, and today we're going to be trying something new. We are going to be talking all about Zeronier, one of the most beloved Ravenloft domains, and the classic second edition adventure set there, Night of the Walking Dead. First, I'm going to be talking about the domain itself, as well as advice for running a game there. Then I'll be talking about the Zeronier adventures in more detail. Specifically, I'm going to be discussing Night of the Walking Dead by Bill Slavicek, published by TSR for 2nd Edition Dungeons & Dragons in 1992. I'm also going to discuss the third-party 5th Edition sequel, Night of the Walking Dead, Under a Bloody Moon, published on the DMs Guild by Kim Franson in 2020. There is also a 5th Edition conversion of the original 2nd Edition adventure by Kerry Jordan, published on the DMs Guild in 2020. There is also an original adventure called The Blight of Zeronier by Heather Faye, which I have read but not actually run. All of these products are available on the DMs Guild for very reasonable prices. I will include links in the show notes. I will also mix in some observations from my own recent experiences running a game here. There will be spoilers later, but I'll warn you when the time comes. If this episode is popular enough and there seems to be an interest, I would like to do more classic Ravenloft adventures as well, so please let me know if you enjoy this episode. You can email me at dndbookclub@gmail.com. That's D-A-N-D-D Book Club. You can also follow me on Instagram at D&D Book Club or on Twitter at Miss Megan J. Now let's begin. Zeronier is Ravenloft's Southern Gothic setting, intended to capture the feel of a pre-Civil War Louisiana, which somehow became trapped in time and has been decaying ever since. There's a strong Caribbean influence as well, with voodoo religious practices woven into daily life. You're probably familiar with the term Gothic horror. It's an offshoot of the romantic literary genre, which gave us such novels as Dracula, Frankenstein, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and The Picture of Dorian Gray, to name a very few. The entire early Ravenloft setting is essentially Gothic horror laid over Dungeons & Dragons-style fantasy. But there is an offshoot of Gothic horror called Southern Gothic, which tells stories of tragedy, regret, nostalgia, violence, poverty, and family curses within a Southern American setting. These stories can be supernatural, like Anne Rice's Interview with the Vampire or Charlaine Harris's Southern Vampire Mysteries, or mundane, like James Dickey's Deliverance or even Tennessee Williams' A Streetcar Named Desire. Honestly, just Google Southern Gothic novels and you'll find some of the best works in American literature. Serene brings all these elements together, then turns the volume up to 11. Players exploring Serenier find deep, unexplored swamps inhabited by poisonous snakes and carnivorous plants, ancient plantation houses falling into ruin, above-ground cemeteries crammed with stone mausoleums, and backwoods villages accessible only by narrow, twisting waterways. And, naturally, lots and lots of zombies. Serenier is ruled by a dark lord named Antoine Mizroy. Antoine is a zombie lord, a kind of quasi-undead necromancer. According to the second edition Ravenloft Monster Compendium, a zombie lord begins as a living being who is transformed into an undead flesh eater, yet retains their intelligence and gains the ability to create and control other undead. To become a zombie lord, one must first be killed by an undead, presumably a zombie, then suffer a failed resurrection survival roll, whatever that is. The result is that the raised dead spell misfires, and rather than returning a person to life, it returns them to unlife as a zombie lord. Mizroy was once a plantation master and a slave owner from the Greyhawk Domain, who was particularly cruel to his slaves, not to mention his wife. He caught his wife in a compromising situation with another man and drowned both of them in a quicksand sinkhole in the nearby swamp. But the magic of the swamp transformed the two murder victims into zombies, and they attacked. The dark powers of Ravenloft took notice of all this happening and decided that Mizroy would make a good Dark Lord, so they transformed him into a zombie lord and transported the region called Serenier to the Demiplane of Dread. Mizroy now wanders the swamps as the so-called Lord of the Dead. That's the second edition version. The 5th edition version is quite different. In the modern canon, Antoine Mizroy was the warden of a prison. I imagine one of those southern prisons where the prisoners work on chain gangs overseen by guards on horses wearing sunglasses. Antoine was a sadistic warden, and eventually the prisoners rioted. Antoine was dragged into the swamp and drowned. But naturally, the dark powers took notice of all this violence and torture, and Antoine was resurrected as the new Lord of Serenier. Another difference between editions is this. In 2nd edition Ravenloft, Serenier was considered an island of terror, meaning it wasn't part of the greater Demiplane of Dread landmass. In 5th edition Ravenloft, there is no core landmass, so really every domain is an island of terror unto itself. Serenier is a small domain, maybe 40 square miles or so, although a dungeon master has a lot of free rein to make the swamp essentially as big as they want. There is also a saltwater port on the north end of the domain, which would be a fine setting for nautical or pirate adventures. That port is called Port Delure and is the largest settlement in Serenier. Goods from other domains flow into Serenier through the port and goods flow out again. I don't know what those goods are exactly. Maybe cotton, tobacco, and sugar if you want to maintain that southern feel. They probably make excellent rum there, too. The only inland settlement of note is a town called Marais de Tarascon on the shores of Lake Noir, ruled by the Tarascon family. It's downriver from Port Delure, on a strip of land on the eastern side of Serenier that is dry enough for farming. Most of the western side of Serenier is the Maison de Sable, the Great Swamp. The 5th edition lore isn't detailed enough to provide a canonical description of Antoine Mizroy's prison, but I imagine a fortress-like compound somewhere deep in the swamp, on a few acres of land solid enough to support permanent stone structures. Antoine Mizroy isn't the only supernatural character the players may encounter in Serenier. There is also a voodoo priest called Chickenbone who lives in the swamp and can perform powerful magic for a fee. There is a spirit called the Maiden of the Swamp who may be friendly towards players in need. And there's a woman named Larissa Snowmane who is the captain of a paddle boat called the River Dancer, which can travel between domains of Ravenloft. Music and dance are important themes in Serenier. For whatever reason, Antoine Mizroy hates most forms of magic and he will hunt down most forms of magic users. The exceptions he allows are healing magic, necromancy, and bardic magic, i.e. magic work through music and performance. Dungeon masters might treat a certain song, instrument, or dance like an arcane focus for spellcasting purposes. In my adventure, the violinist bard character learned a song that allows him to cast Animate Dead. The information about Serenier in the 2nd edition sourcebook is sparse, and it's almost non-existent in the 5th edition book, but fortunately the community has created a wealth of information to draw upon. First, you can read the official Ravenloft series novel, Dance of the Dead, by Christy Golden. It's an excellent book and will give you a feel for the setting. I also recommend a source book called Domains of Ravenloft, Serenier, created by Kim Franson, which is available in PDF form on the DM's Guild. He also has a collection of swamp encounters available on the DM's Guild. And I also recommend the Serenier Gazetteer, created by the Fraternity of Shadows, available on fraternityofshadows.com. I have a few ideas of my own about running a game in Serenier for 5th edition that I'd like to discuss. These are just my ideas and my personal additions to the canon, as well as things to think about when deciding how to present Serenier to players. Before I get into it, however, I want to remind everyone that if you enjoy this podcast, you can support me by going to patreon.com/dndbookclub and becoming a patron for just $5 a month. You'll also get access to exclusive bonus episodes and content. You can also support me by purchasing my original content on the DMs Guild and leaving me positive reviews. There will be links to my Patreon and to my DMs Guild content in the show notes. Now back to the show. The first thing you need to consider is how to approach Antoine Mizroy's backstory. Do you prefer the second edition version where Mizroy was the lord of a plantation of slaves? Or do you prefer the fifth edition version where Mizroy was the warden of a prison? Obviously, the second edition backstory is intended to hew more closely to the pre-Civil War Southern American setting. Slavery in those days was a part of life, as cruel and vile as it was, and the creators likely wanted their setting to reflect that grim reality. The slavery in Serene isn't slavery determined by skin color, like in the real United States, but it's impossible to talk about slavery in that kind of setting without players imagining racial slavery. A dungeon master could choose to define racial slavery in terms of D&D races, i.e. non-humans are enslaved, but I think this is a very bad idea since the parallels are too obvious to be ignored. Another option would be to create a system of debt slavery or prisoner slavery or indentured servitude. Or, since zombies are such an important symbol of Serenier, zombies could be the slaves. If you want to run an adventure which includes slavery as a theme, however that slavery is presented, I advise you to do so carefully. Make sure your players are on board, since some players may be very put off by the idea of an American slavery analog in a game intended to be played for fun. Make sure it's clear that, even if slavery is a fact of life in this domain, it is by nature an evil and dehumanizing practice. I do think an adventure in which the players assist in a slave uprising to overthrow the slavers might be worthwhile, but only if the dungeon master treats the subject matter very carefully and makes sure all players understand what they are getting into. I think the 5th edition prison warden backstory is better, especially for players who don't want to confront issues of slavery in their game, or for dungeon masters who would prefer to avoid the complex issue altogether. But again, talk to your players. Players who have been incarcerated or have loved ones who are incarcerated or simply feel strongly about the topic may not have fun with the premise. In my 5th edition Serenier adventure, I imagined it this way. Once upon a time, the Serenier region was part of a larger kingdom on another world. Antoine Mizroy was the warden of a prison nicknamed Les Oubliettes. Conditions in his prison were inhumane and he treated the inmates with severe discipline and harsh punishments. Meanwhile, the town of Marais de Tarascon supplied the prison with produce and fish to feed the prisoners. One year, a terrible flood inundated Serenier, and the food supplied to the prison was cut off. What little food there was went to the warden and the guards. The prisoners starved. Finally, the prisoners rioted and managed to escape. The guards were killed. Mizroy was dragged into the swamp and drowned. But the dark powers were fans of his cruelty and returned him to life as a zombie lord. At the same time, all of Serenier was transported to the demiplane of dread. Side note, if you want to go really dark with this material, you can suggest that Mizroy was feeding the prisoners who died to the others. Maybe Mizroy himself developed a taste for human flesh. You don't need to go that far, but it certainly fits the zombie theme. Currently, Mizroy operates Les Oubliettes as a prison for all of Ravenloft. Dark lords and other rulers send their criminals, political enemies, and other malcontents to Serenier to be imprisoned. The guards are all undead. The prisoners who attempt escape are quickly lost to the swamp and its denizens, living and dead. Mizroy also employs an elite group of bounty hunters who travel throughout Ravenloft to capture criminals and transport them to Serenier. These bounty hunters may have warlock magic granted to them by Mizroy himself as their patron. In this context, Antoine Mizroy may not be the political ruler of Serenier, but he's definitely the economic powerhouse, since we all know for-profit prisons make a lot of money, and he certainly controls the domain from the shadows. A third option, a blending of the 2nd and 5th edition settings, is to give Mizroy the prison warden backstory, but treat him more like the solitary wandering harbinger of death he's portrayed as in 2nd edition. In 2nd edition lore, he's actually part of the folk religion of Serenier, which revolves around the worship of Loa, or spirits. Mizroy, as Lord of the Dead, is seen as the most powerful of these Loa, but supernatural beings such as the Maiden of the Swamp, anthropomorphic animals, and nature spirits are also revered as Loa. In short, the people of Serenier, at least the commoners, practice voodoo, or hoodoo. Again, this is where I advise dungeon masters to tread lightly. We've all seen movies with voodoo practitioners using voodoo dolls and sacrificing chickens and, of course, creating zombie slaves, which aren't actually dead but are essentially mindless and under the control of a voodoo shaman. But voodoo is actually a living religion practiced today and is much more rich and nuanced than the Hollywood version. For my adventure, I describe the common people of Serenier practicing a kind of folk religion I refer to as the Way of Spirits. Each household kept an altar decorated with statues or icons, as well as candles and offering bowls. These depicted different deities from across the deity multiverse, nature spirits such as nymphs and dryads, and the animals of the swamp, alligators, frogs, snakes, herons, etc., as well as deceased loved ones. Each being was seen as a spirit equal to every other. A worshiper might pray to Mishakal if they were sick, to a sea nymph if they were about to go sailing, or to the alligator to leave them alone if they were going to be traveling through the swamp, or to an ancestor spirit for guidance. Port de Lure and Marais de Tarascon each had a church of Ezra, but most people treated Ezra as just another spirit. If you do prefer the typical Hollywood-style voodoo, make sure your players are okay with it, and make sure to emphasize that the quote-unquote dark side of voodoo is the exception in Serenier, not the rule. Now let's talk adventures. If you're a player and you think you'd like to play in one of the pre-written Serenier adventures without spoilers, stop listening now, and please ask your Dungeon Master to listen to this episode. From here on out, there will be spoilers, so you've been warned. Night of the Walking Dead begins with the players transported from an ordinary swamp in whatever world they're adventuring in to the swamps of Serenier. The players wander around the swamp for a few days, fighting alligators and giant frogs, and meeting a traveling Vistani family. All the while, a storm appears to be gathering overhead. Eventually, the players find a shack in the woods, where a harmless madman named Luke Tarascon is living alone. Players can befriend him or kill him, but if they kill him, he comes back as a ghost. Luke rambles occasionally, but his ramblings are actually quotes from the Hiscosa scroll, a prophecy foretold by a rare male Vistani seer named Hiscosa. Night of the Walking Dead is actually part of a series of 6 adventures, all relating to the prophecy in the Hiscosa scroll. The narrative is strangely out of order, though, since the 4th verse of the prophecy is featured in Night of the Walking Dead, yet it's a first-level adventure, so naturally anyone doing the entire story arc would play Night of the Walking Dead first. Fortunately, they are so loosely connected that it doesn't really matter. When the players eventually reach Marais de Tarascon, they learn about the Tarascon brothers who rule the town. Luke, the madman, is the youngest. His eldest brother, Marcel, died several weeks ago. Only the middle brother, Jean, remains in town. The first half of the adventure involves the players trying to solve a series of gruesome murders taking place around Marais de Tarascon. Innocent townsfolk are disappearing or are found murdered. Assuming the players follow the path laid out by the adventure, which is a huge assumption, the players witness the funeral of the most recent victim, then go around town talking to NPCs and investigating the scene of the most recent murder. Eventually, they are attacked by the killer, who escapes but leaves behind a clue. The players follow the clue to the home of Jean Tarascon, where they discover all his servants have been forced to eat the flesh of corpses and have become ghouls. They also discover the Hiscosa scroll. Following this discovery, Jean goes into hiding, but begins to stalk the players, trying to murder them one by one until eventually they stop him. In the second half of the adventure, the storm that's been gathering finally breaks. Now, this is a problem I encountered when I ran the adventure. According to the adventure structure, the swamp section should take 4 days and the investigation section should take 4 days. That means the storm has been gathering for 8 days. That's an awful long time for a storm to gather. And if your players are anything like mine, they will have forgotten all about it by the time it actually begins to rain. It's a cool idea on paper, but it doesn't translate well to a real game. I'd leave the storm out until the players are close to identifying Jean. After Jean is defeated, the players learn that his older brother Marcel was killed by zombies. The town shaman attempted to bring Marcel back to life, but failed, and Jean was grief-stricken. What the shaman doesn't know is that his spell only half failed. Marcel has actually risen as a zombie lord. Jean has been working for his brother to provide him with fresh corpses to eat or to become his zombie minions. On the night of the storm, Marcel sends all his zombies into town, causing Night of the Living Dead-style chaos. Eventually, the players find their way to the old cemetery, which is inside the new cemetery where Marcel has his lair. The moon turns blood red, fulfilling the Hiscosa prophecy, and the players defeat Marcel. The layout of the cemetery is another problem I encountered when running this adventure. According to the description, the old cemetery is closed off from the rest of the cemetery, which I guess is meant to discourage players from entering until the final act. But if you know anything about D&D players, you know that an old, ruined cemetery behind a locked gate is going to be completely irresistible. They are going to fixate on that cemetery and do anything and everything they can to get inside and likely stumble on Marcel unless you're able to keep him hidden somehow. And even if you do, it will just seem like a big cheat when they return at the end of the adventure. I placed the old cemetery outside of town, so the players didn't know about it until someone told them. I used the logic that, in olden times, it was considered bad luck to bury people within the town itself. So that's Night of the Walking Dead. It's a fun, self-contained zombie horror adventure with a serial killer twist, perfect for players who enjoy talking to NPCs and investigation. It's a little light on combat, though, so you may need to beef up the encounters if your players enjoy fighting monsters. If you want to include the Blood Moon and the Hiscosa Prophecy, you can, but it's not at all necessary if you want to run the adventure as a one-shot or a side story. One of the downsides of this adventure is that it doesn't include any of Sorenier's main NPCs, not even Antoine Mizroy. You might want to include him as some kind of deus ex machina, or a clue giver, or even a quest giver. You could also include the Maiden of the Swamp or Larissa Snowmane for similar purposes. They are all more memorable than just some generic constable. Next, I want to talk about the sequel adventure, Night of the Walking Dead Under a Bloody Moon, published on DM's Guild by Kim Franson in 2020 for 5th edition. I was very excited to play this adventure, since I ran the original 2nd edition adventure as a kid some 20-odd years ago, and the sequel adventure is set 20 years after. It's funny how life sometimes comes full circle like that. Before I go any further, I want to let you know that Under a Bloody Moon can be played without playing the original, so again, stop now if you don't want any spoilers. Under a Bloody Moon starts with the players arriving by sea in Port Delour in northern Sorenier. They are sent on an errand to Marais de Tarascon, and their raft is attacked by a giant alligator. After defeating the alligator, they find the same shack where the party found Luc Tarascon 20 years ago. Marcel Tarascon's journal is also hidden there. The players reach Marais de Tarascon and learn that another series of brutal murders is taking place, like the ones 20 years before. The players investigate and find out that the killer is actually a kind of super zombie unique to Sorenier. This particular zombie is under the control of Antoine Mizroy himself. The players find clues which lead them to the Tarascon mansion. Following the events of the last adventure, Luc Tarascon recovered from his madness, married, and had a daughter, Helena. Helena found her uncle Marcel's journal and used the magical dance of the dead to raise a zombie. This attracted the attention of Antoine Mizroy, who decided to take her under his wing. She suggested she bring her uncle Marcel back to life, but Mizroy forbade her to do so. Instead, she killed all her servants and turned them into zombies. Seeing what she had done, her father once again reverted to his madness. In fact, Mizroy has been testing Helena. He wants to see if she is strong-willed enough to defy him and raise her uncle, despite him forbidding it. He also sent his zombie to commit murders in order to lure a party of adventurers to try to take down Helena to see how she would fare against them. The party reaches the mansion, finds Luc all alone, and finds the murdered servants. The murdered servants rise from the dead as zombies and attack. At the same time, the gathering storm breaks, and Antoine Mizroy raises a horde of zombies to challenge the players. After the players defeat the zombies at the mansion, they fight their way through the streets to the old cemetery and find Marcel's old stomping grounds. Helena has used the Dance of the Dead to resurrect him. The moon turns blood red once again, and the players fight Helena, Marcel, and a few powerful zombies. The players are victorious, and Mizroy shows up to congratulate them on passing his test, then tells them to get the hell out of Sorenier. It's revealed that Marcel was secretly manipulating Helena from beyond the grave, and with Marcel permanently destroyed, Helena is restored to her old self. I highly recommend this adventure for any dungeon master who's interested in Ravenloft or Sorenier. I found it easy to run and straightforward, with a good balance of combat and investigation. It could probably be played in 2 or 3 sessions, depending on how fast the players find the clues. Again, though, the sequel falls into the same traps as the original. The storm takes so long to break that players have forgotten it was even happening. Then the storm almost immediately stops so the Blood Moon event can happen. I just don't think you can include a major thunderstorm and a lunar event on the same night and have it be effective. Also, as in the original, the old cemetery is going to draw the players in like a magnet, so you need to make sure they aren't aware of it until the end. Or maybe it's been restored so it doesn't stand out so much. I actually blended the two stories a little bit, since my players weren't familiar with the original. In my version, Helena raised her uncle Jean as a super zombie, and he was committing the murders to bring her townspeople with particular skills she needed to upgrade her home, as well as musicians to play while she danced. And also, the players came to Marais de Tarascon specifically to investigate the murders, since I think that's more compelling than being sent on an errand and just stumbling into the narrative. I felt the adventure needed a few more memorable NPCs, so I beefed up the mortician character, Mark Calouse, who I think is based on The Undertaker from WWE. He befriended the players and basically became their source of information about the town. I also created a new character, a young woman named Amélie Laveau, who is a dancer of exceptional talent. She performs a version of the Dance of the Dead at funerals that is intended to help souls to depart. She is intended to be kind of a foil for Helena, who isn't as talented, by the way. In my version of the adventure, Helena is arrested at her home. Then Jean kidnaps Amélie and takes her to Marcel, whose spirit forces her to perform the Dance of the Dead to bring him back to life as a zombie lord again. In the final battle, the players face Jean and Marcel to rescue Amélie and stop the zombie horde. At the very end, Antoine Misroy decides that Helena has failed him and drags her kicking and screaming on his barge to be imprisoned in Les Oubliettes. I also wanted to create a dungeon in this adventure, so I placed the old Tarascon plantation house from the original adventure on the outskirts of town, again so the players wouldn't go there too early. It's now a decaying ruin, but Helena has restored one of the bedrooms and created her own dance studio. This is basically Helena's base of operations for practicing her magic and raising the dead. The players investigated the house and found clues pointing to Helena, then encountered a werebat in the attic, which nearly killed them all. I also included a snake in a toilet trap, but unfortunately, none of my players lifted up the toilet lid. I was very sad about that. And on that note, I think I'll wrap things up. Let me just finish by saying that Serenier is one of Ravenloft's best domains to play in, especially if you're interested in zombies and folk magic. There's several quality Serenier adventures out there, but I think it's a great setting for any adventure with a swamp locale, and it's also great for nautical or pirate adventures. It also feels more modern than an adventure like Curse of Strahd, so if you're interested in adventures taking place in the early modern period, like the 1700s, rather than the medieval period, it's a very easy setting to adapt. For that reason, it's a great place for players to buy firearms, although heavy armor may have to be stowed away while exploring Serenier. And that's all for today. If you enjoyed this episode, please let me know and I'll make more like it. You can email me at dndbookclub@gmail.com or follow me on Instagram at dndbookclub. You can also follow me on Twitter at Miss Megan J. If you enjoy the show and you want to support it, please consider becoming a patron for only $5 a month by visiting patreon.com/dndbookclub. You can also support me by purchasing my content on the DM's Guild. Check for links in the show notes. Thank you for listening, and until next time, sleep tight and don't let the zombies bite.